Christian, to come together and to just give God in heaven all the glory and all the honor. Psalm 34. In Psalm 34, it says this: I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. And folks, that's why we're here this morning. We're here to celebrate him. We're here to celebrate the one who sent Jesus to come and to live that life that you and I could never have lived, and to die the death that we should have died, to set us free, right? To make us free, to come out of darkness and to come into light. We want to celebrate that. Man, we're here to give him all the honor and all the glory, and we're so glad that you're here with us. For those of you who are visiting with us, man, thanks for coming and joining us on this Sunday. And, man, we just have so many good things going on. And when I look at the day, I mean, even right now as we sit here in this building, we've got a team of folks down on Main Street setting up the kids area for Taste of Durango. And we've got the privilege to go down and spend from 11 to 3 with 10,000 of our favorite neighbors, right? And to just, you know, serve our community. We're excited for that opportunity. We're praying for God to give us not only the opportunity to tell Durango kind of on a macro level that we love Durango, but we're praying for on a micro level that there would be conversations that could take place, interactions that could happen where we could kind of put some more behind, you know, give more detail as to why we're down there and what's going on, what we're about. We're praying for that for sure. Hey, this morning, before we go to the next little piece of the service here, let me just remind us, when we have our fifth graders standing in front of us, when we have our high school seniors standing in front of us, the reminder for each of us is the fact that, I mean, we can't sit back and take any credit for any of that. Right? We give God all the glory and all the honor. Fifth graders, they're not ours. God's kind of loaned a bunch of fifth graders to us, and our job is to lay foundational pieces that Jesus is who Jesus is, and he does what he does, that he transforms lives. And we want to lay that piece in the hearts and the minds of fifth graders. And for seniors to stand up, they're not ours either. Right? I mean, they're on loan. And we come alongside them and we try to remind them that they're part of something that's far bigger than them. You know, that grace and mercy that God pours out upon them just is guiding and leading them to the next place. And, you know, as a church, I mean, our hope is that we would love God, right? That we would love people and that we would make disciples. And at the end of the day, if those things are in place, lives would be transformed. I mean, that's really what we're looking for, and that's what we're praying about. And, man, it's all part of a process. It starts young here. I mean, for some of you, you come to church, you come into this auditorium, you do church, and you go home. But you have to understand, on any given Sunday morning, starting downstairs in the nursery and working through the elementary school and in high school program that way, man, the whole goal is to see lives transformed. And it's my privilege this morning to get to invite a guy up on stage that I think I met when he was probably in about like fourth grade or something like that. And he's running around here at the church, and he grew up and he went through the junior high and high school here in Durango. But, you know, I just got to tell you a story real quick about Kyle. And that is the fact that the first time I heard Kyle preach, I know he's probably in junior high, I would guess, give or take a year in there. And when he was done preaching, you just walked away in that moment and you went, God's got something going on in this kid's life. I mean, there's always kind of been a particular focus and direction anyway that the Reisdorf family just naturally kind of has, right? I mean, there's a certain level of order in their family, okay? That's just how that works. Like January 1, they knew like their whole schedule for the year, right? You could walk up to any of the kids like on January 2nd and go, when are you going to Lake Powell? And they're like, which time? You know, and it's like June 3rd through 8th, you know, July, whatever. And it's like, we already have it reserved, right? I mean, they just knew. And so there's a certain level of direction and focus that way. But man, Kyle got done preaching that night and you just go, man, God's really got something going on with this kid. And it's going to be evident to you as you listen to him share this morning, just how much he loves the Lord. And that, I mean, he's saying yes. He and his wife, Christina, are just saying yes to the Lord's leading in their life. And we're excited to have him. So, Kyle, if you want to come on down this way, it's going to be my privilege to have you up here on stage. Everybody, if you want to welcome Kyle Reisdorf. Right on. So, with that being said, Kyle, just so some of the folks here can kind of get to know, because we were talking about this last night, Kyle's been away from Durango, you know, for about 10 years now, and which makes you old. And so if you want to just kind of maybe share about your family, Christine and the kids, and then on top of that, why don't you kind of just share how you came to faith that way?
Yeah, sure. So Christine's in the back there with Jeremiah. If you can turn around, Christine, give a wave. That's Christine and Jeremiah. Sorry, people in the balcony, can't see Christine. Yeah. So when I left Durango, I was obviously single. So I left in 2009 to go to master's, at that time, master's college, and then have been gone ever since. But I came back for summers and stuff, but I didn't know Christine, and I didn't have kids or glasses or wrinkles or white hair. So I guess things just kind of happen as you leave for a while. But no, I'm really thankful to be back. It's so good to see all of you. A lot of familiar faces and then a lot of new faces too, which is great. So First Baptist, I grew up here. I think I came here when I was 2 years old. So definitely was in every Sunday school room and enjoyed
that
a lot.
Was that your choice,
sir? No, actually, I remember when I was little, I was like, wait, it's summertime. Like, we're done with school, right? Like, I don't have to go to Sunday school too, do I? So, no, I was just like every other regular kid too. But yeah, this is where the Lord began to work in my life. And in fact, there's a gentleman back there in the corner, Mike Sutter. He wouldn't want you to turn around and look, so don't do it. But no, Mike had a huge impact on my life when I was in junior high here. That was when I first started to read my Bible, was in our junior high Bible study. And so I'm really thankful for that. I don't know exactly at what point I came to faith in Christ. I'm thankful, though, as you read through Scripture, it doesn't tell you to look back at a particular moment. You know, at what time did I do it? It encourages you to look at your life at the present. So that's something that we all do as we evaluate. Are we walking with the Lord right now? But certainly in high school, listening to some sermons, I mowed lawns and just listened to sermons. A lot of Paul Washer, if you've ever heard him before. That was really helpful for me, understanding the gospel. So, yeah.
That's really good. Kyle, when you start thinking about how God's been working and how he's been moving in your life with taking you through seminary, which recently you just got to walk and get your degree, so congratulations on that. You think about this for just a minute, to go through seminary, get a master's in divinity degree, you know, you're talking about 100 hours of class time, and to do that married with children, just no small order at all. So that probably explains a little bit why you got some gray hair. But why don't you maybe share a little bit with the folks how you and Christine kind of got on the path toward mission work, vocational mission work, and then ultimately Poland.
Wow, okay, well, mission work in general, I think there's always been a desire in my heart to do missions. I was with Jim Huguen on some of his last Juarez mission trips, so I did some short-term mission trips here, and then when Mission Outfitter, I don't know where they're at now or what they're doing, if they're still doing missions, but there's a place in Bayfield called Mission Outfitter, so we did all kinds of short-term trips, and I think that maybe birthed a desire in my heart for doing missions. But at the same time, I've had this inclination since I was a junior in high school to be a pastor, too, and to preach the Bible. And so I was going to be a pastor. So in fact, most of my time in college and in seminary, I was just kind of thinking, I'll be a pastor here in the States. But in seminary, one of the chapels, there's a gentleman, an older guy, who had done missions his whole life, and he just got up and preached a whole sermon about how you need to be willing to go anywhere and do anything for the Lord. And I had kind of thought beforehand, yeah, I mean, missions would be cool, but I like to speak in English, and in fact, I speak English pretty well, it'd be pretty hard to learn a new language, so let's just do it here in America, you know? So I still kind of not super looking forward to learning the new language, which we're going to do, but there was something in my heart that said, okay, yeah, we need to be willing to go anywhere, do anything for the Lord, but I just didn't know what that was yet. So we were thinking ministry in the States for a long time, and then one day in seminary, I was just eating lunch with some of my buddies, which, by the way, I don't think I did that a lot in seminary. Usually it's like, oh, I got to get this homework done, so I just go to the library. So I'm outside actually eating lunch with some friends after class and a big table, you know, maybe eight people there. And a bald 35-year-old dude pulls up a chair next to me, and he's a Polish student, a student from Poland, a Polish national. and he spoke English really well. He had come over to Washington, D.C. and been an intern with Mark Dever at Capitol Hill Baptist Church in Washington, D.C., and then came to finish his education that he had already begun in Europe. He came to finish it at the seminary that I was at in Los Angeles. And I knew he was Polish, and he pulled up right next to me, and I just said, "Hey, how'd you come to know the Lord?" And he told me his testimony that he, you know, Poland is predominantly Catholic, almost totally Catholic. And so he wasn't a believer, and he loved basketball. He loved basketball so much, and he hated Christians. And so he had a big decision to make when there was a missionary basketball coach. He's like, I love basketball, but I hate Christians, so which one's going to win out here? And he ended up loving basketball more. So he played basketball with this guy, and this guy led him to the Lord. And he was a young guy. I think he was newly saved, 21 years old, newly married. And he went to go be a church planner in Poland. And he was part of a denomination, the Baptist Union denomination in Poland. And he told me that if you were to get everybody in his whole denomination, in the whole country of Poland, so 40 million, actually 38 million people, if you were to get all the Baptists there under one roof, he said it would be half the size of Grace Community Church on a Sunday morning. So that's about 3,000 people. So there, it was just such small numbers of believers there in Poland. And that was really compelling to me, because the last thing that I wanted to do was go be a pastor somewhere. Well, maybe not the last thing. I could probably hate working at the post office the most, but like second to last would be being a pastor. So I'm sorry if you work in the post office. I love what you do. I just, every time I go in there, I'm just like, this is never where I want to be. So that's just me though. It's nothing against post office people. You have any post office people here at the church?
Not anymore.
Okay, yeah, right. anyway, no, but where I was going with that is I didn't want to be a pastor somewhere where the biblical teaching was readily accessible. I wanted to go somewhere where people didn't know couldn't just go to a church and hear the word of God preached. I wanted to go somewhere where people wouldn't have access to it. And I thought that would just be somewhere in the U.S. because there's lots of places in the U.S. that are like that. But then I hear this guy, and just there was a huge fire on my heart. Came home, and I was like, you know, half tongue-in-cheek, but like, Christine, I think I figured out what we're going to do after seminary. And she didn't turn it down right away, which was great. So I think she didn't think I was really serious. And once I was really serious, I think she was kind of like, oh, man, are we sure we want to do this? But the Lord actually worked in her heart, too. So we have a unified desire to go there. And can I just tell you what we want to do there while I'm on this?
You're breaking out of order of questions.
Yeah, I know. I'm just going to do it anyway. Yeah. So
you've got the microphone,
okay,
man.
Okay, yeah, that's right. So if you could just mute Jeff.
So many things to say. So many things.
So
it's a good thing your mom's here.
Yeah, I know. So what we plan to do, you think about Matthew 28, the Great Commission. We're called as believers to make disciples, right? When you read that, if you went back to the original language of Matthew 28, 19 to 20, you'll see that the main command there is to make disciples. And the way that you do that is by going, by baptizing, and by teaching. So we're all called to make disciples of Christ. That's what we do. And you think about the ministries of baptism and teaching. Well, those things happen in the context of the local church, right? In fact, earlier in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So God's plan for missions and God's plan for bringing his truth to the world is through the church. And so we're going to be part of a church in Poland. And so we're so excited about that. We're going to join that guy who pulled up the chair next to me and then one other guy who were both graduates from the seminary that I graduated from. And we're going to join them in ministry and do local church ministry there in Poland. And so we want to, you know, first and foremost, we want to shepherd the people at that church and be a blessing to them, train them, equip them, help them to know how to share the gospel with people. And we want to do evangelism ourselves and be going out there to talking with Catholic people and others in Poland who don't know the Lord. So that's what we hope to do. Then we hope that God will bless the ministry in such a way that our church, which is just right outside the Capitol, so pretty centrally located, will be a model church and a training center. Because in Poland, if you think about it, there's so few believers, then how few of them are actually church leaders? And then in a church, in a country that's predominantly Roman Catholic, how much access do those leaders have to being trained and how to do ministry? Well, very little. In fact, there's very few Polish resources available. If you wanted books or commentaries, hardly anything. So there's an urgent need to train men in Poland for ministry. And so we hope that God will bless the ministry in such a way that people are coming into the church maybe for a weekend or for a week or for a conference and have training, church training and church ministry training. So that's what we want to do there. And I want to be part of kind of both those things. That's kind of welding two desires in my heart, one to be a teacher and then one to be a pastor. So we want to shepherd in that local body, but also have an outreach in discipling men who are from other parts of Poland as well. So that's kind of the main goal that we have in our ministry.
That's absolutely fantastic. Folks, I don't know if you picked up yet or not. Kyle's a little passionate. You get that? I mean, you kind of get that vibe there. I mean, and he has been, you know, again, as long as I've known him that way. But when you look at it going over, Kyle, a lot of guys your age coming out of seminary, it's about church planning, right? You know, that seems to be kind of the in vogue way to go do ministry. How did God, I mean, lead you and Christine particularly to go, you know what, we're going to go.
Yeah.
And we're going to kind of step out of the traditional sense of mission work. And we're looking not so much church planning, but church strengthening,
yeah,
right? And how did you end up there? Yeah. And then with that, what are you most excited about, yeah, in that?
Well, both of them are great. I don't ever want to denigrate church planning. I mean, that is the tip of the spear. I mean, that's when you go in there. What do you do? Well, you share the gospel with people. And what do you do with the people who come to know the Lord? You gather them into local churches. Well, what do we call that? Church planting. I mean, so of course, I mean, church planting is just absolutely paramount. In fact, the guy that I'm joining did that. He went into a city. It was called Borno Sulli Novo, and it was this this old Soviet complex that they tried after the wall fell in 1989. They tried to turn it into like a tourist town, and it kind of didn't work very well. But he went in there, and I think there was one believer in the town, maybe, and he would come in on the bus from a city 20 minutes away, and he preached the gospel there, and people got saved. And then they gathered into a church there. And so then there, I think at some point there was maybe upwards of 40 or 50 people, which is pretty big. Right now it's probably 20 people in that church. So church planting is hugely important, and we are joining a church planner at heart. Okay, so I still think church planting is kind of on the horizon in terms of wanting to help facilitate that ministry. But to be a church planner, you really got to know the language. And you really have to be, I this is maybe just my opinion, but there's an element of just having that desire and that drive and that and a keen ability to interact with people and to be that tip of the spear. I think the Lord has gifted me kind of to be more of a facilitator and to come alongside people. So just in God's providence and his grace, we're going to be joining and helping empower some Polish nationals right now. We'll never know the language as well as they do. We'll never know the culture as well as they do. And so for right now, especially as we come in so green, not as much ministry experience, and also not as much understanding of the culture and language, we want to be there to help push things forward in that church and do training. And also, I think I'm wired to really be more, to be a discipler, you know, and to help train men. So that's what I'm most excited about. We have, in my church in Santa Clarita, where I live, we have a few college guys coming to a Bible study on Sunday mornings. I love that. I love seeing them grow. And so I hope that I can do that too and just impart the truth of God to them.
I know that you guys are kind of like on the front end of your support raising and putting your team together and getting ready to go that way. What are some of the hurdles you guys are facing? Not only those hurdles or maybe what we know what you're excited about. Maybe share with the folks something that you guys are maybe a little pensive about, a little afraid of as you're going. And then share with the folks too how God's just been really good to come alongside and encourage and strengthen you guys in those moments.
Yeah, I think I would probably feel this way if I was doing ministry in Poland or Durango or anywhere. But there's a real weighty responsibility when you think about pastoral ministry. I think it's Hebrews 13:7. But it talks about how leaders you need to submit to your leaders because they're going to give an account to God for you. And so there's a special accounting that comes to pastors. And you think about a pastor, that you could also translate that same word as shepherd. So a pastor is somebody who shepherds a flock of people. And it's an interesting analogy. And we're all sheep, and we know a little bit about sheep, and they don't always make really wise decisions. And so just I think that there's a burden that comes with having spiritual oversight of people that is really heavy. And I'm sure, Jeff, you could probably comment on that much more than I could because you've been doing it for 15 years almost. So that part, I think, is one of the things that we feel most kind of, or at least for me, I feel most angsty about. But there's other elements of just moving overseas. You know, are we gonna be okay with the food? What if we can't learn the language? It's apparently one of the most difficult. You know, there's like a scale of 1 to 5. Like, I think Spanish and French are kind of like that 1 to 2 level. I think German's kind of like that 3 level. And then Polish is 4.
Or
and then
7.
What's that?
It's like a 7.
It's like a 7. No, it's like a 4. I don't even know what a 5 is. It's probably some, I don't know. Yeah, Chinese maybe. I don't know. So we're, I mean, and then we're, it's hard to leave family, and we're going to miss our family dearly, and feel bad taking the grandkids away. So, but in all that too, you look at scripture, and you'd be hard-pressed to point to somebody who's not weak that the Lord used. I mean, all these people in scripture, God just always used weak and struggling people to do his perfect will. And that way, all of the glory goes to God, because it wasn't their strength or their power. And that's how it is for all of us, right? God's given all of us work to do in this town, in this community, in your families. And we all struggle, and we're all weak. But the power of God is in earthen vessels like us, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. So we're encouraged by that. And I'm encouraged when I read scripture and just see what God did through people. But also, too, we don't bear these burdens alone. So, I mean, we're in community with other believers. So when you struggle, you go ask somebody, hey, can you pray for me in this? And I know even yesterday I was struggling with something. I was able to text my pastor back home, and you know, he's praying for me. So I'm really thankful for how we do it all together, too, as a community.
Yeah, that's really good. So, Kyle, as far as you know, as far as you understand at this point, how do we as a church, how does First Baptist Durango come in beside and behind you and Christine moving forward?
Yeah, well, you know, like I just said, we're all weak people. Therefore, we all need God's help. And how do we call down God's help? Through prayer. So we would treasure it if you prayed for us. In fact, I tell people sometimes, I would rather people pray for us consistently than to give to us, because I know that God can provide for us however he wants to, but we need your prayers. We need your prayers to know how to be faithful in ministry in Poland, and how to be the people that God called us to be. And also pray for provision. We're about a third of the way there with our support raising, so just keep praying for us. Yeah, that would be huge. And if you wanted to give, we have some prayer cards out there. In fact, if you wanted to, what would be really helpful, if you want to get our update so you can know how to pray for us, there's a table in the back, kind of go out the door then immediately on your right, and we have some paper there. You can put your name, address, and email, and we'll send you our updates so that you can find out kind of where we are in the process. We send them out every 2 to 3 months, and there'll be some prayer requests on there. And then also, if you wanted to give, we have some a website, and you just do it all through the website. And if you can't use the website, then we'll work with you another way, too. So,
yeah. That's real nice of you to do that.
Yeah. You know what I mean.
There are all kinds of ways. Kyle, we're just absolutely grateful for you. We're thankful. You, not only the chance that we're going to have to get to partner with you and Christine moving forward, but the fact that even as you grew up, you served this church. You didn't just come. I mean, you served our church. You worked within the church. You worked up at the camp. You've taught up there. You interned here twice and blessed this church when you were here, and so you've made this church better through your time, and we appreciate that. We're thankful for that. We'd love to have a time of prayer if we could for you and Christine. I'm going to invite Christine to come on down this way. And if I could have the elders that are here, if you guys can make your way down here, I'd like to just pray over Kyle and Christine. So if you guys want to come on down this way, it'd be great. How are we doing, Jeremiah? You good? You having fun? Oh, yeah. Yeah? Yeah. Right on. So we'll just kind of hang tight for another minute here, and we're going to pray. I'm going to ask, as we do this, I'm going to ask Jim and DJ if you guys will pray, and then I'll close this up, all right? That'd be great. Jim?
Oh, Father, we celebrate your great name today. What an amazing thing it is to see how you're working in our midst through fifth graders, seniors in high school, and now a man like Kyle who returns and gives testimony to your great name and what you've done in through him, Lord, and to him. We thank you for that. And as they get ready to go out, God, we ask that you would guide them, that you would provide everything they need physically, emotionally, spiritually, to undertake this great task that they've chosen. We know that they will make a mark in Poland, that Poland will be different because of their time there and their desire to serve you and see people come to know you and to see men discipled and grow and reach into that country that desperately needs the gospel, Lord. So we trust. trust that you will take them and you will guide them and you will use them as they go out to serve you. We thank you for this time today, God, and we give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name.
Lord, we thank you for Kyle and his family. We thank you for your love for them and their love for you. And we pray that you would keep them safe as they go out, that you provide for them, that you would use them to your honor and glory, that you would put them in the path of people who you've called to yourself. And we pray that you would open hearts and use them in a mighty way to bring folks to an understanding of who you are, how much you love them and care for them, and how much you want to spend eternity with them. And Lord, use them to honor and glorify you. And we thank you for their heart and their direction. And we thank you for your love for each of us.
Father God in heaven, may your name be exalted. May your glory go before us. Lord, and where we can play a part in that, we are humbled and honored to do so. Before you today, we have a family who desires to go into the world and to preach your good news. Lord, thank you that we can be a part of that. Thank you that the Reisdorfs are faithful to be a part of that. We pray that you would go before them, that you would bless their endeavors for your great name, for your sake, that the people in Poland and beyond would come to know your loving kindness, your salvation, that you are our righteousness. Lord, we ask that you would work out all the little things along the way. Lord, that they would not worry or be anxious, but Lord, that they would trust, that they would be at peace throughout the entire process. Lord, we praise your name. And we thank you for your servants. We ask that you bless them.
God, we thank you and we praise you for the morning. But Father, I want to pray particularly for Kyle and Christine's marriage and their relationship, that this endeavor together would just grow them close. Father, that they would come to see where you've taken this journey to Poland to deepen Kyle's love for Christine. Father, to deepen Christine's respect for Kyle. Father, that you would help them to be able to communicate and to forgive and as needed. And Father, that you would use their gifts and their strengths together to strengthen churches in Poland and to deepen the faith of men and women in that country. And Father, we pray for their boys, and we ask that this would be a journey that would shape and impact them forever. And Father, that they would grow up within an environment where saying yes to you is common and regular, and that, Father, then in turn and in time, you would raise up these guys to do the same. And so, Father, together as a church, we commit to pray for them and their family. And Lord, knowing that you're going to make their path straight, the ministry piece will come together. Father, you'll put those pieces in place. But Father, together we'll pray and we'll support their family. And God, thank you for that opportunity. We give you all the honor and all the glory, and we'll praise you and we'll thank you because we can. In the great name of Jesus, amen. If you guys want to give a little round of applause for Kyle and Christine. As Kyle was talking, one of the things that came to mind was the fact that in this church, and this predates me and for a lot of us on this, is that just historically, this church has, God has blessed this church to see people rise up from within the midst of this church and to go. And Kyle and Christine is just they're another piece of that foundation moving forward. We give God all the glory on that. We're thankful for that for sure. So Kyle, Christine, thanks for coming and sharing with us, and we're just better for it. We're grateful. I shared with you earlier that one of our missions, or the mission of our church really, is to love God and to love people and to make disciples. And part of that make disciples thing is watching God's Spirit move and work in the hearts and minds of men and women, and in bringing people to faith. And when those moments happen, we want to share story, and we want to hear story, and we want to celebrate what only God can do in the life of a person. And so it's with that being said that I'm going to invite Don Reisdorf to come on down, and he's going to share story this morning. And Don is a good friend, and man, we've just shared a lot of life together over the last number of years, and it's my privilege to be able to invite Don to come on up and to share as the Lord leads. Don, do you need you want a no. podium? You good? All right, good. Everybody, Don Reisdorf.
Good morning, everybody. Woohoo! Got a little hot on that mic. Thanks for being here this morning. A lot of you I've known for a long, long time, and this is a testimony to our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer, and I would just ask that he would be glorified today in anything that is said, and I hope that the words that the Holy Spirit gives me are the right ones. And so I want to share with you what it's like to claim to be a Christian for over 30 years, to be a professing Christian for over 30 years, and then to find yourself born again almost a year ago, June 15th, 2017. I've been actually going to church for 50 years. I've been going to church with a guy over here for 50 years, my best friend. And again, a professing Christian for over 30 years. Then I'm born again. How can that be? How can I claim to be a Christian? How can I pray? I mean, Lord, I came to church. I've gone to Sunday school. I prayed. I've served the church. I gave to the church. The Lord called me to work on kingdom projects, and I worked on kingdom projects. And yet, the scariest verse in the Bible, I think, is the one that says, Lord, Lord, look at all the things that I've done. And he says, I never knew you. And so we've got a couple of questions that we need to answer with that. The first one is, what happened? You know, what was the problem here? And the second question is, how could that happen? And so I'm going to answer the what first. The what issue is pride and arrogance and wanting to retain my own control and not submit my entire life to the Lord. That's the problem. And a bumper sticker that is out that all of us have probably seen is a great picture of that. It says, Jesus is my co-pilot. Jesus is my co-pilot. I can't stand this bumper sticker now that I understand it. And the first time I saw it, I thought, yeah, that's cool. Jesus is my co-pilot. So if you're one of those that have found yourself liking that, maybe I'll change your opinion on it. But I called Charles Trantham. He's up there on the left side of the balcony. A couple of days ago, I said, Charles, help me understand, what is the role of a captain? Charles was a captain of 777s, I mean, you know, the biggest aircraft in the world. And he said, you know, there's different views of it, but traditionally, when you look at a pilot's responsibility is the complete authority and the complete control. And so you want to be the captain, you have the authority, you have the control. Well, what's the responsibility of the co-pilot? Well, the co-pilot is, do as I tell you, and then help me if there's some problem. If I'm incapacitated, you take over and help me. Well, that is a great picture, you know. Yeah, I'll control my life. I'll walk my life. I'll do what I want. And then, Lord, when I need you, just come alongside me and just, you know, boost me up a little bit. That's going to work real well for me. I like that, right? And so that answers kind of the what is the problem, but the how. How could that be? How could I find myself this way for 30 years thinking that I'm walking as a Christian? And so the first thing I came to is that, you know, it must have been the teaching that we've had. You know, I'm glad you laughed. I wasn't sure anybody would laugh. But what has Jeff said? Jeff, over and over and over again from this podium, has said, you know what? You know, you got to give all of yourself to the Lord. You can't hold back some of it. You can't sprinkle some Jesus. How many times have we heard that? You can't sprinkle some Jesus into this. You got to give your life to him. So that's what Jeff has said. And then Steve Haverly did a great study on Romans a couple of years ago. And he talked about these three men walking with God, being opposed to God, and then the third, which is what we all want, which is, well, I want it my way. I want to run my life, and I want to have some Jesus in with me. So here was part of that teaching. He says, you know what? If you're in the third camp, you're actually in the second. You're opposed to God. I heard all of this, but, well, that wasn't me. That had to be somebody else, right? And then Drew, oh, my goodness, years and years and years of Bible study with Drew Kroll. And what does he say? You're either with God or you're against God. You're either drawing closer to him or you're moving further away from him. You're never standing still. You're drawing close to God or you're moving away from him. And you know what? I didn't hear it. So what about my relationships? Well, guess what? I have a wife that has been, Jan, has been committed to the Lord for years and years and years and taught his word and Bible study fellowship. And I saw the difference in her life. I saw how she walked with the Lord versus my token experience that I did. I saw my son Kyle through high school making decisions. Well, I'm not going to go see that movie. I can't read this. I can't do that. He was being obedient to the Lord's word while I wasn't. And so I see it in my own relationships, and it still doesn't do it. But then the third thing is, what does the Lord say about it? God's word, what does God say? Well, guess what? If we have a little bit of time, we can start with Genesis and we can go all the way to Revelation. And it is all there. It really is. I mean, when you're talking about the heart, when you're talking about contriteness of spirit, you're talking about humility and humbleness and submitting your life to the Lord, it's all the way through. But let me just read three passages, because at my age, memorizing is hard. So I'm going to go with reading it. So the first one is out of 1 John. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Whoa. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, and the pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away along with its desires. But whoever does the will of God abides forever. And then if we turn over to James 4, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit, remember that word, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. And the last one I've chose for this, it really came out of Isaiah. There's two different verses here. He has blinded their eyes. Remember that. He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. And then the verse in 43, it says, for they love the glory that comes from man more than the glory that comes from God. So pretty scary stuff, huh? And so I want to give you an example that is in the Bible that has really touched me recently, and it's King Nebuchadnezzar. Now, pagan king of Babylon is used by God for judgment on Israel, and he goes in, takes over Israel, by God, chose to do that. And then after that, he's used by God, a pagan king, he's used by God for judging Tyre, which is, if you read about Tyre, by the way, it looks a lot like the United States. I mean, they are the trading capital of the world at the time and stuff. It's a pretty amazing story. But because of their pride, it says, the Lord took out Tyre using King Nebuchadnezzar. And then he took out Egypt. And he said, for the pride of Pharaoh and for the pride of him saying that I built this and I did the Nile and not the Nile is mine, he used Nebuchadnezzar's judgment on them. And yet this was a pagan king. So then what happens? So then we get into Daniel, and he has this first dream. And we don't need to go into what the dream is, but afterwards, the only one that can answer what happened in this dream is Daniel. So Daniel interprets what the dream was, and Nebuchadnezzar is just so impressed with this, and he says, your God, your mighty God, your God. Well, wait a minute, it's not his, it's your God, Daniel. And then, how about this? He sees the three guys in the furnace, and then the fourth. He has an experience directly with God in the furnace, seeing them in the furnace and them coming out unharmed and stuff. And he says, this is the God Most High. Not the only God, the God Most High, because he had all of these other gods. His heart, he was not a believer. And then he has another dream. And that dream is about what's going to happen to him. And Daniel interprets this dream, tells him what's going to happen and stuff. 12 months later, he is on top of his palace saying, I have built this great kingdom of Babylon, I have built, and it's for my glory. And the Lord strikes him right at that time, puts him out to pasture is what I like to call it, for 9 periods of time, whether it's months or years or whatever it is, 9 periods of time. He has him grazing like an ox. And after that experience, he says, when his heart is humbled, he will be restored. And not only was he restored, his kingdom was restored. And what then did he do? He praised and worshiped the God Almighty, the mighty Lord that we serve. So anyway, to me, that is a great example, because we can do all of these works, and he can use anybody. He can king. He can use somebody that comes to church and does kingdom projects, whatever it might be, and yet at that point in time, the heart is not touched. So what happened to me? June 15th, 2017, I'm on a walk, just like this morning, 2-mile walk. I walk 2 miles every morning, about a half mile into this walk, and I'm going to tell you the best I can in words. It's almost like a vision, so it's very hard for me to put into words. But I'm on this walk, and for the very first time, I can see my life for what it has been. And I know now that that's when my heart was humbled, that he showed me who he was. And I saw myself in comparison to a holy God. And it was unbelievable. And the Lord is offering me his life, a life of righteousness. And I remember just going, Lord, why would you even want me? Why? But part of this deal was, and again, it's hard to put this stuff in words, is that I had to turn away from my prior life. I had to turn towards him, and I had to submit my life to him as my Lord and Savior. And that's what was missing. You know, I could do all the rest of it. I could go to church. I could pray. I've had salvation prayers. But I did not submit my life to the Lord. So that's my testimony. What I would like to say is that from that, my heart has been touched for other people that sit in churches, maybe all across the country, maybe all across the world, that find themselves maybe in the same place as me, that they've wanted to do it their own way and not submit their life to the Lord. I can tell you it's a dangerous place to be. I'm going to ask you, as Kyle said, to examine yourselves, because that's what the Bible tells us to do. Don't rest on what we did when we did a salvation prayer 20 years ago. That's great. And if you know you're saved, and that's great too, you don't lose your salvation. Not suggesting that whatsoever. But examine yourself today. Do you love the Lord God Almighty? Do you love to read his words? Are you committed to him? Are you submitted to him? Are you willing to go and do what he wants you to do? Will you talk to your neighbor about him? Do you love other people? Those are the kinds of things that he's asking us to do, to examine ourselves, to determine whether we're really walking with him. And I can tell you, I am a new creation. I read about new creation. It's a new creation. It's a different thing. I love to get up in the morning and read my Bible every morning. I pray the Lord that I would never lose that desire. With the exception of this morning when I was praying a lot about this, I listened to a sermon every morning on that walk. So in a year's time, I get a lot of sermons and hear some great things and stuff. But just that our hearts would be connected. My wife and I, on our knees, pray morning and night about our lives, about our kids' lives, our grandkids' lives, and I treasure that time. And so that's what it's like to be a new creation versus, you know, I'm too busy for that. I got to get up, and from the first thing in the morning, all I can think about is the work that I'm going to do, the things that I'm going to accomplish, and I haven't got time for the Lord. You know, one of the things Drew does so well in teaching is sin. If you neglect the Lord, you're going to be moving away from him. He calls us to draw close to him, to love him. And if we draw close to him, he'll draw close to us. So I'm going to just pray for just a moment that if there's any work to be done here, that he will do that. But Lord, I ask that, Lord, that you will humble hearts. If there are any hearts that need humbled, Lord, that they would hear this testimony and understand that we can't walk in our own ways, that we have to submit to you. It's because our hearts want to submit to you, that we want to claim you as our Lord and Savior. We want to honor you. We want to love you. We want to draw close to you. And Lord, we don't want to stray from you. So please, for all of those that are saved here, please have them walking close with you. And for any that this testimony would touch, we ask you to humble their heart, to come to you in saving grace. We have a mighty, mighty, mighty Lord and Savior, and we're so thankful to you, Lord. So with all of that, in your name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, Don. Hey, Don. As the band comes for us to sing, as we close and respond, I mean, we need to respond today, don't you think? I mean, we started by talking about the fact that we want to exalt his name together. We want to respond, and God has been really, really good to us this morning. And you've heard testimony this morning, right? I mean, of how God can work and how God moves that way. And please, in the course of the morning, as we sing, take that time and just examine yourself. And here it is. Sometimes that comes across maybe hyper-judgmental or something like that. We examine ourselves and go, man, and we can come out on the other side of that and just be blown away by the salvation that God has given us, right? Anybody? There's like four of you. That's not bad. You know, but the fact of the matter is that we can come away on this thing and just go, no. God, I know you've moved in my heart. I know that you've saved me this way. But just to have that renewed in us again, just what exactly that gift of salvation means to us. Folks, it's the game changer in all of our lives, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so we examine ourselves that way to come out on the other side more sure of the salvation that God has worked in our life. Or maybe we're sitting here today and maybe God is just giving you the greatest gift ever today. And that is to have a guy stand up and humbly admit to you that he joined every committee. He went to every class. He gave regularly. He did everything that a good Christian is supposed to do and woke up and realized the fact that he didn't have a real relationship with Jesus. And God has given you an amazing gift today to look at you and say, you know what? If you find yourself in that spot, it's okay. But to give that up and to come close to the Father who loves you enough to open his arms wide to you and say, even if you've put the show on for as long as you remember, there's room at the table for you. So today's the day. Today's the day. And on behalf of myself and the staff, the leadership of this church, as you examine yourself, and we want to come and we want to walk that journey with you. We want to talk with you. We would love to help you jump into a relationship with the Lord. We'd like, maybe you're sitting here, you're saying, man, I'm sure of my salvation, Jeff, but man, I could grow. I could go to another level in my maturity. That's why we're here. We want to celebrate those moments. And so whether it's the first time, it's the 15th time, it doesn't really matter. But man, please grab me, grab Jimmy, drop us a line, let us know. We want to come alongside you. We want to walk with you on that deal. And we want to watch you grow and flourish as a new creation in Christ. Okay? And so we're going to sing now. We're going to give praise. We're going to give honor back to the Father. We're going to baptize Don here in just a few minutes. And we'll celebrate that way. But as you're singing, just be asking the Lord to just kind of through his Spirit help you to examine yourself and where you're at and where you stand with him this morning.